Now, I want to give you one closing picture from Revelation chapter 6. He's a bold man who undertakes to interpret Revelation chapter 6. It's the vision of the horseman, etc. Now, I want to say I'm giving you my subjective understanding. And really, it doesn't matter altogether whether I'm right in my interpretation. I believe I'm right in my application. But this is so vivid to me. If I can only make it as vivid to you as it is to me. You probably remember there were four successive horsemen that moved out, as I understand it, across the stage of human history. The first one was a white horse. And it says, the one who sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now the crown was the laurel wreath that we're talking about. It was the mark of the victor. And a white horse was what the Roman emperors rode on when they rode in triumph. So it's a picture of victory and triumph. Now we'll put that in our pending file for a moment, and we'll move on to the next three horses. The next horse was fiery red, and it was granted the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This speaks to me very clearly of war on a very large scale, and I'm inclined to think included in it is civil war. I won't go into my reasons because it takes a little while, but I'm inclined to think that toward the end of this age, most nations will be convulsed by civil war. And there are forces at work in many nations that could cause that to erupt. There are dissatisfied minorities. There are people who feel they're not getting what they're entitled to. It's true in the United States. I don't want to go on because it's very sensitive. But I'm inclined to think it's going to erupt in bloodshed on a large scale. That's the fiery red horse. The next one was the black horse. And the one who sat in it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. This black horse to me signifies universal shortage. And everything is rationed. That's the scales. And a denarius was a standard wage for a working man. So with his day's wage, he could get a quart of wheat, which wouldn't do more than maintain him. It would not maintain his family. In other words, people are going to be living on very short rations. In Ghana, a country that Ruth and I were in and are going back to, the daily wage of a working man is less than the price of a loaf of bread. And the amazing thing is, the Christians of Ghana are some of the most generous that we've ever met anywhere. And we ask them sometimes, how do you manage to give so much? And they said, we don't know, we just do it. And somehow, we have more than enough. But that's a rather clear picture where a man can't earn enough to buy a loaf of bread. And but it says in the middle of that, don't harm the oil and the wine. What are the oil and the wine? They're the luxury foods. So there, in the midst of this shortage, there are going to be people living very luxuriously. And if you read the book of Revelation, you'll see a clear picture of tremendous luxury in the midst of poverty. Basically, what they say in the world today is the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And that, I think, is in line with the Bible. So there will be wealthy people who in some way or other will hold under the poor and say, now you look after my vineyard and you look after my olive grove and I'll give you just enough to stay alive. That may not be accurate, but that's the picture that comes to me. And well, I think you'll agree, we're not far away from it in many nations today. All right, the fourth seal, the fourth creature, was a pale horse. That word in Greek is untranslatable. It's chloros, from which we get chlorine and other words like that. And Greek color words are different from ours because grass in Greek is called chloros. But it's basically an unhealthy, pallid, sort of colorless color. And this horse, the rider on him was called Death. And Hades or Hell followed, I suppose, on another horse. It's important to remember that Death and Hades are persons. I believe each of them is a satanic angel charged with the responsibility of that area of Satan's territory, which is Death and Hades. Death takes the physical life. Hades claims the souls, you see? And here they are, and they're killing at random. A quarter of the earth's population. And it says that it was granted to them to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Have you ever noticed that it says to kill with death? Now, the modern translations don't say that, but it's the correct translation. How do you kill with death? Well, I think Ruth and I have discovered in ministry, there is a spirit of death which is at work in many, many people in many parts of the world. And a spirit of death comes in to kill people who wouldn't normally die. And there are a whole lot of people in hospitals and other places that die without adequate physical explanation. And I think I'd say for Ruth and me, we have kind of started a personal war against the spirit of death. If I were to preach on it here tonight, I think you'd be surprised at the response, but I can't do that. Now, so we've done the three horses, 2, 3, and 4, and then after that, there's the martyrs under the altar. We better look at them. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood and those who dwell on the earth?" They said, "Lord, isn't it time you avenged us?" And the answer was that they were to wait until their brethren, who should be killed as they were completed. In other words, apparently at this period there are going to be multitudes of Christians killed for their faith. I believe that's part of the Great Tribulation. Because in Revelation it says those who came out of the Great Tribulation had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay, now that's the background. The next thing that follows is the close of the age. The visible appearance of Jesus. We won't go into that. Tremendous earthquakes and upheavals. Now, let's go back. We only have a few moments left to the white horse. This is what thrills me. Now, this is the way I see it. The white horse is the gospel riding on victoriously, conquering and to conquer. There's another picture in Psalm 45 of Jesus as the Messiah, which I believe is the commentary on this white horse. Psalm 45, verses 2 through 5. This is addressed to the Messiah. "You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness." This is not the ordinary military conqueror. His conquest is based on truth, humility, and righteousness. And then it goes on to picture his conquests. That, I believe, is the gospel riding on the white horse going out to all nations. And you see, the essence of what I want to say, this is the crucial thing. The white horse has got to stay ahead of the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. They're all going to ride out. But we've got to get to people before the others destroy them. See, if I'm right, this creates such a sense of urgency. This is the urgency that I feel in my heart. I feel I just have to get out with the message of the gospel before these awful other horses swamp humanity. And they're already riding out. They've already started. And I have this continuing pressure, got to stay ahead of that red horse, that black horse, that pale horse. Because we only have just a fraction of time. And I want to suggest to you one thing. The devil doesn't mind if you decide to commit yourself to the gospel, provided you don't do it soon enough. All right? And he'll use any tactic he can to delay you. He won't say no, he'll say later. This is my burning concern. I see multitudes of Christians who are waiting to commit themselves, and I believe they're going to wait too late. There's very little time left, as I understand it. Everything in the earth today is moving rapidly, more and more and more rapidly. And I want to tell you, God is not behind the world. God also is moving with tremendous rapidity. Would you be committed to the white horse? Will you give your life, if you've never given it, for that white horse? The nations are waiting for that horse. May God help you and me to meet the challenge, understand the time in which we live.
For more information about Derek Prince or Derek Prince Ministries, visit us online at derekprince.org.